ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ भज गोविन्दम् भज गोविन्दम् गोविन्दम् भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति दुःखङ्करणे सुरमन्दिरतरो मूलनिवासः सुरमन्दिरतरो मूलनिवासः शय्याभूतलम् मजिनम् वासः शय्याभूतलम् मजिनम् वासः सर्वपरिग्रह भोगत्यागः सर्वपरिग्रह भोगत्यागः कस्य सुखम् न करोति विरागः कस्य सुखम् न करोति विरागः
See, this verse, the meaning I explained to you last class. But what is implied in this verse? What is literally said here is different. It's very different meaning, okay? But what is implied in this verse is, the question comes, viragaha kasya sukham na karoti. I should teach you Sanskrit. See here, see very simple thing, okay? Kasya, viragaha kasya sukham na karoti. We should have to take that sentence. The whole meaning of the verse implied in this whole verse has to be understood as the meaning of this sentence. Viragaha kasya sukham na karoti. For whom does the viragaha, dispassion, does not bring happiness? That's the meaning. So, viragaha vairagyamanadu yaarukku thaan sukathai kodukkaadu. Vairagyamanadu yaarukku sukathai kodukkaadu. That's the question. Not the actual question. It's a question, objection. But that means what? That very question implies, definitely, viragaha sukham karoti. Sukham dadati. Okay, definitely, dispassion, brings one happiness. Brings happiness. For the dispassionate. That's the dispassionate person definitely becomes happy. Definitely discovers happiness. The dispassionate person definitely, without any doubt, discovers happiness. This is the actual meaning of the whole verse. The whole verse tells you only one sentence. The dispassionate person definitely discovers happiness. Or you can say attains, everlasting moksha. You can say this. That means the dispassionate person discovers happiness means who is this dispassionate person who is discussed here? Dispassion definitely makes one happy. Dispassion definitely helps one discover happiness. The dispassionate person definitely discovers happiness means here the dispassionate is the one who is contemplative. 19. So the dispassionate one is the one who is contemplative. How do we say that? The being dispassionate itself implies that person has grown out of desire for artha kama dharmas. So that means what? He has understood the limitations of artha kama dharmas. Has grown out of desire for Arthakama Dharmas, has understood the limitations of Arthakama Dharmas. Even if he is pursuing Arthakama Dharma, but still for him, Arthakama Dharmas do not become the ultimate ends. So the dispassionate person need not be the non-pursuer of Arthakama Dharmas. we have to remember that ரொம்ப confusion இருக்கிறது. ஓகே, டிஸ்பாஷனேட் பற்று நீங்க பெற்றவன், எல்லா பற்று நீங்க பெற்றவன் அர்த்தகாம தர்மங்களை பர்சியூ செய்யாதவனாக இருக்க வேண்டியதில்லை. The dispassionate person need not be the one who does not pursue அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ். The dispassionate person can still be the pursuer of அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ். That means what? In spite of, even if he is pursuing அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ், for the sake of அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ், he does not consider அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ் as the ultimate. And for he is very clear about the end is different. And he, because he knows the limit, he has grown out of desire for pursuit of அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ். That means what? He is not craving for அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ, and he knows the limitations of அர்த்தகாம தர்மஸ, that they cannot really free him from, really help him attain what he ultimately seeks. Such a person is the dispassionate person. Therefore, the dispassionate person must be who? He must be the one who has understood, understood the Shadrukmata, the Shastram, thereby who is also contemplative. So, contemplative. Such a person, so he does not care how the lifestyle is. Whether Sura Mandira Taruhu, Sura Mandira Nivasaha, or Mola Taru, Tarumola Nivasaha, wherever he lives, whether he, Shaya Bhutalam, what does it mean? Doesn't mean one should really exert oneself, punish oneself with all the suffering. That doesn't mean that. Actually, what it tells is, whatever is the standard of life of the person, the dispassionate minded is the mature person. Whatever is his standard of life, whatever is the life he is ordained with, however he is living, still he is mature person, he is contemplative. The contemplative person is always the one who is with himself, who has learned to be with himself, with one's own self. The contemplative, if you ask who is the contemplative person, the contemplative is the one who has learned to be with oneself, who has learned to be seated with oneself, who has learned to be with Bhagavan. The one who has learned to be with Bhagavan means what? The one who has learned to be with oneself. Understand? Learned to be with oneself means what? Without knowing the truth of oneself, how can he be with one's own self? Understand? That is why very contemplative means not an easy joke. The one who has learned to be with oneself. And such a person, one who has learned to be with oneself, one who is with oneself always, cannot be definitely unhappy. Because that means he is with happiness. Being with one's own self is being with happiness. Look at this, being with Bhagavan, being with one's own Swarupam, or being with oneself is being with happiness or being with fullness. And being with fullness means what? Being happy. Being happy. That is why viragaha kasya sukham na karoti. Patrinmai yarkuttan sukhatte kodukkadu. Patrinmai nischay maha yellorukkum sukhatte taan kodukkum. That's the answer. That's what is implied there. Therefore, that's why we have to be very clear about patrinmai sukhatte kodukkum nu sonna. Then who is that patrattavan? Who is that person who has that patrinmai? Okay, here the one who has patrinmai, one who is dispassionate, is the one who is contemplative. And if he is contemplative, means the one who is focused, one whose attention has been taken away from other interests, other objects of interest. That means one who has grown out of desire for other objects of interest. That means one who knows the limitations of other things, that they cannot give him what he seeks in life. So all these things imply the dispassion talks, means the person who is highly mature. Thereby one who has understood the Shadrukmata of the Shastram, and one who is able to be contemplative. Contemplative means one who is able to be with subject matter of the Shastram, which is Swarupma of oneself, thereby which is being with Bhagavan, or being with the Niraiva, being with the fullness, being with one's own Swarupam. That is why, so Niraivoda Irutale Nireva iruttal. Understand now? Being with fullness is what? Okay, being with fullness or being with happiness is being happy. Understand? Nirevodu iruttale, nireva iruttal. Understand? That's what he says. That is what this line states. Therefore, dispassionate, again, this verse emphasizes, highlights how important it is, for one to discover dispassion in life. இப்போ பற்றின்மை வந்து அடைய முடியாது. பற்றின்மை வந்து இயல்பாக ஒருவருக்கு வரணும், இயல்பாக ஒருத்தருக்கு வரணும். ஹவு? தட் இஸ் வை ஒன் கெனாட் சம்படி கெனாட் ஃபோர்ஸ் அதர் பர்சன் டு பி டிஸ்பேஷனேட். பி ஆல் ஆஃப் யூ பி டிஸ்பேஷனேட். பற்று எல்லாம் விடுங்க. ஐ கான்ட் இஃப் ஐ ஃபோர்ஸ் ஐ நாட் ரைட் டீச்சர். ஓகே, பற்றின்மை, த டிஸ்பேஷன் இஸ் நாட் சம்திங் டு பி இம்போஸ்ட் ஆன் அதர் பர்சன். சம்திங் ஷுட் பி ஃபோர்ஸ்ட் ஆன் அதர் பர்சன். And nobody can make other person dispassionate. So dispassion is something which one has to discover in one's life. Oruvar thane, one has to become dispassionate. How, what is it which makes one a dispassionate? No, only when one understands. What is it what I seek ultimately in my life? What is that which can get me what I ultimately seek in my life? And what are all these pursuits? What other things cannot do? Once you know what I want is this, and if I know other things cannot give me what I want in life, naturally I grow out of desire for other things. The simple thing is what is dispassion. Understand? That is why dispassion is something which is born of understanding of the limitations of artha, kama, dharmas, that they cannot leave me what I really seek in, ultimately seek in my life. This understanding helps one grow out of desire for artha, kama, dharmas and have developed passion for knowledge. So discovering the value of, knowing the value of knowledge, knowing the ultimate end being moksha, knowing the value, knowing knowledge itself being moksha, and knowing the value of knowledge, and develop, then having passion for knowledge, naturally one becomes dispassionate towards other things. This is what is discovering dispassion towards everything else. That is what this line says. That is why it's very important for one to discover dispassion in life. Otherwise, there's no way of becoming focused and becoming, knowing the truth and becoming being contemplative. Being contemplative, which implies being with oneself, there's no way of being with happiness or fullness. There's no way of, being happy. Therefore, that this verse, that is the main teaching implied in this verse. Dispassion definitely makes one happy, helps one discover happiness. That's the teaching of this line, this verse. Yoga rato va, bhoga rato va, yoga rato va, bhoga rato va. Sangaratova Sangavihina Sangaratova Sangavihina Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam
Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam
Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva
Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva
Yogaratova Bhogaratova
Yogaratova Bhogaratova
Sangaratova Sangavihina
Sangaratova Sangavihina
Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam
Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam
Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva
nandati nandati nandatyeva.
See the beauty now. Following that verse, the previous verse highlighted the importance of discovering dispassion in one's life, becoming mature. So this becoming dispassionate or being dispassionate itself implies one being able to be contemplative, and that one being able to be contemplative implies one being with oneself, one being with Bhagavan, one being with one's own Swarupam and fullness, which is now one being happy, which implies one being happy. So being contemplative itself implies what now? This verse again tells, the second verse highlights the importance of being contemplative. How contemplative, being contemplative itself is very great thing. Dhyanathil iruttal. That is why I am saying dhyanam seivadallenge. Dhyanathil iruttal. Okay, being in meditation is being contemplative. And doing meditation is what? Meditation. Understand? Dhyanathai seyyirama, dhyanathile irukkirama. There's a difference. Whether you are in meditation or you are doing meditation. Understand? When you say I'm doing meditation means what? Becomes wherein that you are thinking of something. If you say I am meditating. If you say I am meditating means you can be meditating or you can be thinking of anything. You are focused on any one given thing. And I am in meditation means, okay, what does it mean? You are with yourself. That's what contemplation. Understand? So here, so the the greatness of contemplation is highlighted here. The previous verse said, highlighted the importance of discovering dispassion in one's life. Because being dispassionate itself implies what? Being contemplative. And here again, this following verse highlights the importance of being contemplative. Dhyanathil iruppadin sirappennanna, which implies what? You already understood, okay? And understand the subject matter of the Shastram. And you know the Swarupam of the truth of one's own antakaranam being, no? The vastu, sadvastu. So, the reality, and then you discovered. Therefore, when knowing the Swarupam of the Atma, when you dwell upon the Swarupam of the Atma, that's what is contemplation. So, here he says, Yoga Rataha means what? See, Rataha means being engrossed. Arndirithal. Understand? Arndirithal is called Rataha. Suppose you say Bhojana Rataha means what? One who is involved totally in food eating is Bhojana Rataha. One who is totally lost in pleasure of something. Rataha is Arndirithal. Suppose TV, the Rataha, chess, yes, serial Rataha, means one who is totally, Rataha is a word, nice word, okay? Arndirthal, one who is engrossed, or one who is totally lost in something is called Rataha. Okay? And who she says, Yoga Rataha, or Bhoga Rataha, Sangha Rataha, or Sangha Vihinaha, whatever one is involved in, whatever one, is involved in, one gets immersed in, he says here, Yoga Rataha. Whether a person, a person is involved or totally lost in yoga, or somebody is totally immersed in the enjoyment of pleasures, Bhoga Rataha. And Sangha Rataha, Sangha Rataha means what? Sangha Rataha means Sangha means association. Or the one who enjoys the company, having company of other people is what? Having the enjoyment of pleasure of having the company of people is called Sangha Rataha. And also Sangha Vihinaha, or one who doesn't have the company. Whether the one who has the pleasure of having the company of people, or one who is without any companionship, company. Or whether one is involved in the enjoyment of yoga or enjoyment of pleasures, doesn't matter. See, where you are involved, where you are engrossed, what you associate yourself with doesn't matter. If you have understood the reality, if you have parambarul manadirukku purundirukkumanal, okay, if you have understood the reality, then your mind can never be taken away from reality. That is what we very carefully explain these verses. You can ask, how is it possible if the mind is totally engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasures or engrossed in yoga? No, ratahan of the arndirithal, whether the mind is engrossed in the pleasure of having the company of people, or whether the mind whether the one does not have the pleasure of having the company of people. Whatever it is, doesn't matter how the person is, does not matter if he has discovered the swarupam of the atma. If he has discovered swarupam of the mind, swarupam of the true reality, if he has discovered the reality, nature of the reality, then he can never miss it. See, look at this. I tell you, give the example. If you see the wave, and you see the wave, if you do not know the truth of the wave being water, the H2O, and having understood, my God, H2O alone is there as the wave, once you have seen the H2O cause of the effect, then whenever you see the effect, can you ever miss the cause? Every time you see the wood, what cannot be missed is what? Along with the table. Wood. You can't say, I see only the table, I don't see the wood at all. Because what you see as the table is nothing but the wood. Every time you see the effect, what you cannot miss along with it is what? The wood. Every time you see any opaque object in the room, what you cannot miss along with the opaque object is what? Light. Can you say, I see only the opaque, I don't see the light? You don't need to say, I see the light also. But in the mind, it's very clear. Without even talking about it, when you say, I see all this, all of you means, it implies what? I don't need to talk about it. I also see inseparably what? The light. Inseparably. Okay? Inseparably, irremovably, what is the light? That is why that which cannot be missed. If I see a chair here means, I also see the light where the chair, I see the light. I mean, the chair. I see the table means, I also, what I cannot miss is what? Wood. In seeing the table, what I cannot see miss is the wood. But if I'm ignorant of the wood, as long as I'm ignorant of the wood, I know only the table. When I mistake the table for the satyam, not as the mithya, but then I do not mistake the table for mithya, I mistake the table for satyam, I do not see the satyam wood, then I may miss it. Once I know that, having known the wood being satyam, table being mithya, then every time I see the mithya table, what I cannot miss along with it, what? Wood. So every time I see the opaque object, what I cannot miss along with it is what? Light. Every time I see the chain, what I cannot miss with it is what? Gold. Because I cannot miss that. That is why that which cannot be missed is what? Achyuta. I don't know whether I remember this word I told in the very beginning. Remember? Achyuta. Chyuta means nalvidal. Nalvidal yedirima, that which cannot be that slipped, that which cannot be missed. Nalvidal is what? Achyuta. See, when you see this table, what is achyuta is, what cannot be missed along with the table is the wood. Similarly, the whole jagat, whatever I see, for the person who has known the truth, for the person who has known this atma surupam, who has known the truth of the jagat, understood the truth of the jagat, such a person, the truth being pure consciousness, and one who cannot, anything he sees, anything he enjoys, even if he is totally engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasures also, what he cannot miss is what? Awareness. Amazing, isn't it? This is very important thing. If you do not see the truth, then if you get engrossed in something, it is very difficult to take the mind away from that. But having understood the truth, and whatever you enjoy, whatever you are, what you cannot miss, no? What you cannot, you cannot take your mind away from that. Everything you see, you cannot miss seeing the light. When you see an opaque object, you cannot miss seeing the light. Do you have any choice about it? There's no choice. You can't say, I don't want to see the light, I want to see only the table. You can't say that. You have no choice, because that is the very truth. Similarly, once you have discovered the truth, then whatever you are, you know, whatever you enjoy, whatever you see, whatever you perceive, whatever you relate to, and whatever your mind engrossed, whatever the mind becomes immersed in, still what cannot be missed is the reality. It means what? He's that person who cannot miss the reality. Who is the one who cannot miss the reality? In whatever he is doing, the one who has discovered the reality. Paramporulai arindavan, ஏன்னா பிறகு எதில் இருந்தாலும் அவனுக்கு மனமானது பரம்பொருளை விட்டு உலகத்தை மட்டும் பார்க்க இயலாது. That's what everything is like, typically like this. The example is this. Whenever you see the opaque object, even if you do not consider the light being there, but still you know very clearly what you cannot miss along with it is the light. Similarly, to the eye of knowledge also, you cannot miss the awareness, the consciousness, in every perception, in every knowledge, in every understanding, in every object perceived also, what you cannot miss is the awareness. Therefore, and there's a yoga rataha va bhoga rataha, whether one is immersed in the in yoga, meditation, etc., or any karma, whether one is immersed in the enjoyment of pleasures, whether one is sangharataha, whether one is involved in having the pleasure of the company of people, whether one doesn't have the pleasure of, whether one is not involved in having the company of people, whether one is devoid of company or sangar vihinaha, one is devoid of company also, doesn't matter. Yasya chittam brahmani ramate, one whose attention of the mind is, chittam brahmani ramate, one who has discovered the sarupam of the atma. Therefore, one who revels in the rupa of the atma, one whose buddhi, intellect, one whose mind, one whose attention of the mind, revels in the sarupma of Brahman, the reality, that person is definitely happy. That's why he says three terms, nandati, 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 yeva. He is pleased, he is pleased, he is definitely pleased. Means what? He can't afford to be unhappy. Understand? That means what? He is definitely happy. See, nandati means such a beautiful word, Mahiran. That is the correct word. No, that means Mahiran means what? Nirevil telekiran. Nandati means nirevil telekiran. He revels in fullness. That is the correct word. Nandati, I can say, he revels in luxury. He revels in knowledge, which itself is luxury. Reveling in knowledge itself is luxury, and he revels in knowledge, thereby that is which is luxury. So nandati, 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 eva means he has the luxury of reveling in knowledge. Jnanathil telettale nirevil telettal. So nirevil telekirana, that's the right word to say. That means what? Nirevil telettale artham. Nirevil telettale kuraihellam adiyod neenga peridal. Understand? Kuraihela attravan. Kuraihellam neenga patra neenga petravan solna. Nirevil telettale kuraihel neenga peridal. Neenga petravan. Therefore he revels in the fullness. Nandati means he revels in fullness. He revels in luxury. He revels in knowledge, which is luxury. He has the luxury of reveling in knowledge. Why? Because chittam ramate. Chittam na manam ramate revels. Mind revels in what? Brahmani. இன் பரம்பொருள் எவனவருடைய மனமானது பரம்பொருளில் லயித்திருக்கிறதோ, பரம்பொருளில் லயிக்க பெற்ற மனதுடையவன் நிறைவில் திளைக்கிறான். தட் இஸ் த கரெக்ட் டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், தி ஒன் ஹூஸ் மைண்ட் ரெவல்ஸ் இன் தி சொரூபம் ஆஃப் தி ரியாலிட்டி நோ ரெவல்ஸ் இன் ஃபுல்னஸ். தட் இஸ் த ஆக்சுவல், தட் இஸ் ஹவு இட் ஹாஸ் பி டிரான்ஸ்லேட்டட் ப்ராப்பர்லி. Then only it is 100% effective, expressive. Otherwise any language will be of, it won't be of that expressive. What exactly this verse says. Suppose without, if the mind is, it also tells what? If the mind is not, no, the mind that is not with the Swarupam of the reality, the mind does not see the Swarupam of the reality, then whatever he gets engrossed in, he gets only engrossed there. Whether you have association, whether you do not have association, whether you have company, whether you do not have company, whether you endorse the pleasure, enjoyment of pleasures, or whether you do not have enjoyment of pleasures, okay, whether you are involved in yoga or not, doesn't matter what you are doing, where you are involved with, if the mind is, The mind is in Brahman. Okay, the mind revels in Brahman. Okay, then there is only one. The reveling in Brahman is what? Reveling in Brahman means reveling in Swarupam of Brahman. Reveling in Brahman means what? Placing attention in Swarupam of Brahman is reveling in Brahman. Reveling in Brahman means reveling in fullness. அதுவே நிறைவில் திளைத்தல்னா. Therefore, we say here, it says, that is why, how is it possible? So, nirivil telekarvikku, to revel in fullness, you don't need to do anything. You cannot do anything. There is no way of reveling in fullness, other than placing your attention in the reality, nature of the reality. So, in order to place your attention in the nature of the reality, you should know what is the nature of the reality. That is why that implies what? Being contemplative is, the importance of being contemplative is highlighted here in order to revel in fullness. This is the teaching of the, what is the one line you have to understand? What is that important teaching in this verse means what? If you say reveling in fullness now is possible only if one's attention, you know, is focused on the nature of the reality. Only if one is contemplative, which implies one must have understood the nature of the reality. Otherwise, what you do, where you are engrossed in, what you are immersed in, doesn't matter. That it will not take you anywhere near fullness. நிறைவில் திளைக்க பரம்பொருளில் இடையராது கவனத்தை செலுத்துதல். Understand? பிரம்மணி ரமத்தே. பிரம்மணி ரமத்தின் பரம்பொருளில் எவனுடைய மனமானது லயித்திருக்கிறதோ அவனே நிறைவில் திளைக்கிறான். அவன் நிறைவில் திளைக்கிறான். தட் வாட் ஹி ஜஸ்ட் த்ரீ டைம்ஸ், நந்தத்தி நந்தத்தி நந்தத்தி. லிட்ரல் மீனிங் இஸ், நந்தத்தி மீன்ஸ் இஸ் ஹாப்பி, பிகம்ஸ் ஹாப்பி, ஈஸ் ஹாப்பி, ஈஸ் பிளீஸ்ட். ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் வி கேன் சே. அண்ட் வி ஆல்சோ இஃப் யூ ஆட் தி ப்ரிஃபிக்ஸ் ஆனந்தி, சேம் மீனிங் ஆனந்தி ஆனந்தி. தட் இஸ் வை நந்தகா மீன்ஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ், ஆனந்தகா ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ். தட் இஸ் வை வி வெரி காமன் நேம் நந்தகோபகா நந்தகுமாரஹா, வெரி காமன் நேம். நந்தகா மீன்ஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ், நந்தி மீன்ஸ் இஸ் ஹாப்பி. இட்ஸ் அ வேர்ப் ஹியர். அனந்தகா ஆர் ஆனந்தகா மீன் தி சேம் ஹாப்பினஸ். அண்ட் ஆனந்தி ஆர் நந்தி மீன்ஸ் வாட்? இஸ் ஹாப்பி, பிகம்ஸ் ஹாப்பி, இஸ் பிளீஸ்ட். In fact, it's not a simple word. It's not a, it doesn't mean na inburudhal artham kedaiyadhu. Is happy is different from nirevil telettal, is different from inburudhal. Understand now? Actually, there's little, there's slight degree, there's a of difference is there.
Is that happiness and pleasure?
Yeah. So here nandati means, if I say, you know, nandati can say simply is pleased. I can also say is happy. That means what? He becomes happy means what? I mean, that's why I should say, Now he revels in fullness. That is the correct thing. I shouldn't say, if I say he becomes happy, he becomes happy, he becomes happy. Then he revels in fullness. Reveling in fullness means what? See, reveling itself implies that which will not go away, which will be there forever. Anything which comes and goes, then you cannot revel in, okay? So this verse only tells us the importance of being contemplative in order to revel in fullness. So without being contemplative, there is no way of, reveling in fullness. Understand? It's not possible. That's what I said. So being contemplative means being in meditation. Understand? So being contemplative itself will help one revel in fullness. And being contemplative is possible only if one is dispassionate. And being dispassionate is possible only if one knows the limitations of other things and the value of knowledge. See, one leads to the other. All building blocks, I have to tell you a lot of things.
Bhagavad Gita Kinchidadhita. Bhagavad Gita Kinchidadhita. Ganga Jalalava Kanika.
Oh, adhu mein vandhuchu. Bhagavad Gita. Adhu raagam maarichu. I missed it,
Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita Kinchidardhita. Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita. Sakudapiyena Murari Samacha. Kriyate Tenayamena Nachacha.
Bhajag. And the Rukha that goes that. Let us go to our own old ragam. There is literal thing. Bhajago is clear to me. MS is coming. Okay. So here, suddenly, you see, few verses, he has sung only like 12 verses. He has taken only for 12 verses. When this comes, mind just jumps to that. Okay. So Bhagavad Gita, Kinchid Adhita, Ganga Jala Lava Kanika Pita, Sakrudapi Yena Murari Samarcha, Kriyate Tasya Yamena Na Charcha. See, having highlighted the importance of discovering dispassion, first verse, the next verse having highlighted the importance of being contemplative, now he talks about what? Again, knowledge only. Highlights the importance of, again, jnanam. Okay, importance of knowledge alone is highlighted. But, and also, for that jnanam, what is the means? So, the importance of understanding subject matter of the Shastram also is highlighted here by mentioning the word Bhagavad Gita. He says, Bhagavad Gita kinchit adhita. Kinchit na konjam. Understand? Kinchit, the Tamil, I don't know whether you are using it here, Srilakan Tamil. So, kinchit means very little. Okay? Adhita, studied. Bhagavad Gita kinchit adhita. Even little of Bhagavad Gita has been studied and understood. That means what? How can a little of Bhagavad Gita, even if you understand one verse of Bhagavad Gita in its proper context, if you understand one verse of Bhagavad Gita in proper context, not first chapter, okay? After second chapter, I'm saying. If you understand first, that's my problem. People, okay, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra. Okay, I finished one verse, you shouldn't ask, that's why I'm saying, after 11th verse of second chapter, okay? I'm saying, even if you understand one verse of Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, the whole context and all that, kinchit, little of the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita has been understood, definitely, then you don't need to now have any argument with Lord Yama. That means what? Yamena saha charcha na kriyate. So, one does not need to argue with Lord Yama if he has understood even the little of the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita. That is the meaning. You don't need to have studied the whole of Bhagavad Gita, word by word and all those things. Even if any one of the verse, any few verses, if you have understood the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita, even little of that, now properly, then that person does not need to have any argument with Lord Yama. What is the argument with Lord Yama? There's no real argument with Lord Yama. That means Lord Yama comes. Imagine what sort of, let us imagine what sort of argument can be there. Lord Yama comes, okay? Come on, I have come here today. I want to take you back with me. And then he has come. Because Lord Yama is what? Time factor, okay? Time factor walks into our house. And come on, I have come here, I want to take you with me. No, I'm not interested in coming with you. I don't want to go with you. I want to be here. I want to be with my grandchildren, great grandchildren. I want to be here. I don't want to come with you. Come on, go away. I don't want to come. I don't like to come with you. Okay, I don't want to die, okay? I don't want to come with you. That means we will refuse to go with him. And then at least we'll say, come on, you know, at least don't come. Now at least, you know, you have to come if he says, no, at least give me some time. I want to be here for some more time. And you come at least after 3 years or 5 years. Go away. At least after 3 months, at least until I finish writing my will, don't come. These sorts of, you know, these are arguments can be there with the Lord Yama. So, and sort of arguments, that means what? Argument with the Lord Yama implies one being frightened of death or one suffering from what? The fear of death. Marana bayatal kashtapadudal. See, we when we are young, we will not know what is marana bayam, satyam. When you are hale and healthy, we will not know what is marana bayam. When you are capable of doing everything, you will not know what is marana bayam. I tell you, no human being is an exception. Irrespective of who the person is, everybody will go through that great trauma, okay, trauma of fear of death, only when one is fast approaching the death. You will not know what it is all about. Definitely they'll be there. That sort of fear one will not have. That means one will be very real. That means one will not be insecure. I tell you, one will not be insecure, one will not be anxious, one will not be afraid of death, one will be completely free from fear of death. Being free from, I told you many times in the class, being free from fear of death is being free from the very phenomenon called fear. And being free from fear is being fearless. Being fearless is being courageous, being brave, and being courageous and being brave is being emotionally strong, okay? And being emotionally strong is what? Okay? Being successful, being happy also. This is the truth. This is Shastra looks at things, how it builds, things one after the other. Therefore, here, if you have understood subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita, even little of subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita, then definitely you will be free from fear of death. That is the meaning here. Bhagavad Gita kinchit adhita. Okay? Even orvanal Bhagavad Gita in a kunchamad purindhikola patrikirado, parika patrikirado, tena yamena saha charcha na kriyate. அவனால் எவனோடு கூட பாதிக்க வேண்டிய அவசியம் இல்லை. ஓகே, என்ன கிரியேத்தே மீன் சோ சர்ச்சா இஸ் நாட் டன் வித் லார்ட் யமா. தட் இஸ் த மீனிங் ஹியர். தட் மீன் ஹி டசன்ட் நீட் டு ஆர்கியூ வித் யமா. மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஹி டசன்ட், ஹி வில் பி ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் ஃபியர் ஆஃப் டெத். ஓகே, சோ திஸ் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன் பகவத்கீதா கிஞ்சித் அதீதா. யூ ஹேவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஏன பகவத்கீதா கிஞ்சித் அதீதா. The one who has understood little of subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, he does not have to, have any argument with Lord Yama. Means what? He will be free from fear of death. He will be fearless. He will be totally secure with himself. because, no, and he will be free, he will be relaxed. He will be strong, healthy and happy. Why? Because that implies what? Shastra study, subject matter, understanding the subject matter of the Shastram, okay, definitely is what? Understanding the Swarupma of the reality. Under the Swarupma of reality implies what? Understanding Swarupma of one's own mind, which will help one resolve one's smallness centered on I, thereby one will be reveling in fullness, thereby one will be free. One will be free from fear. That is the meaning. So first line highlights the importance of Shastra study or understand subject matter of the Shastram. And the second line, look at this. Ganga Jala Lava Kanika Pita. Ganga Jala Lava Kanika. Jala Lava Kanika Pita. Even if one has drunk now a drop of Ganga water, then he does not, again, we have to take again. Kriyate tasya yamenana charcha. Okay, the one who has drunk or taken, even few drops of Ganga water, he also will avoid argument with Lord Yama. That means what? He will also be free from fear of death. Okay, that means all the people who go to Ganga and take some Ganga water, drink some Ganga water, free from fear of death or what? This I told you in the class earlier. Remember this. What is Ganga? I told you here, no? Last class, I told you. Therefore, you have to remember this. So, second line also implies what? No? Upanishadic study. In fact, whether you study and understand subject matter of Bhagavad Gita or whether you study the Vedanta Shastram, now which is symbolized by what? Ganga, river. And go and have, if you do the Shravanamanam Nidhyasanam, even if you cannot do, at least you are exposed to the Upanishadic study. Look at this. Whether you go and study Shastram thoroughly, Shravanam you do, then you Mananam you do, then you do Nidhyasanam, whether we do everything or not, whether you go and have three dips or not, at least few drops. Okay, of what do you mean? At least even if you are exposed to Vedantic study, somewhere something will click. Okay, it will help you think, you will start thinking. Even that will give you some strength. Then in due course of time, it will free you from fear of death. That's why we shouldn't take the meaning literally. If we think Ganga, Jala, Lava, Kanika, Pita, Yamena, Saha, Charcha, Na, Kriyate, if you say, and everybody will go to Ganga, drink, why one few drops? I can drink one liter of water, I should become free from fear of death, and then, no, and they'll bring also big pots of water, we'll import also. What a big deal, no? You, just drinking Ganga water will free one from fear of death, and then everybody will order for gallons, okay, big, they'll buy, and fill the tanks and keep it also at home. Not only for me, for my future generation also, for my great grandchildren also, I want to fill some water. So they'll all be free. If that is the truth, no? That is why you have to understand Ganga is Jnana Ganga, Jnana Pravahini. Understand? Ganga means Jnana Pravahini. That is why, and we have to understand Ganga stands for Shastra Jnanam, and therefore Ganga beginninglessly, endlessly, unobstructedly. That's very important. Ganga flow is never obstructed. Not like any small rivers, no, for which become dry in summer, you know, when there's too hot and all, some rivers become dry. But Ganga is a Jivanadi, Vatrada Jivanadi we call it. That means what? Unobstructedly, beginninglessly, endlessly, unobstructedly it has been flowing. Like that, what has been flowing downwards is the Shastra Jnanam, Sadashiva Samarambham, right from Bhagavan himself, and through the Guru Parampara, Karna Paramparaya, through this system of listening, and this knowledge has been flowing down from one mind to another mind, traveling to the vehicle of words, reaching every mind, through the entering into the mind of every mind, through the ears, and becoming Jnanam there. This knowledge has been flowing downwards, understand? Always it has been flowing, and that Jnanam, at least exposed to. somewhere, definitely understanding of the subject matter of the Shastram definitely will help you discover the truth, which itself is the strength, which itself is security, which itself is bravery, which itself is fearlessness, which is becoming free from fear. Okay, so Ganga Jala Lava Kanika Pita. So what it says then, Sakradapi Ena Murari Samarcha. So Murari here is Muraha, is name of the Lord Krishna. So you can say Bhagavan, you can generally say Murari Samarcha means what? Sakradapi means once. Sakrit means once. Api also. Sakradapi Oru Murai Avad, at least once in your lifetime. Murari Samarcha Kriyate. Now if you worship the Lord at least once in your lifetime, it means what? Worshipping the Lord once in your lifetime means what? The whole life I never worship the Lord. Suddenly how can you worship? Understand? Some samskaram it will give you. That's why Murari Samarcha, Murari is one of the names of the Lord. And mainly Lord, name of the Lord Krishna. Muraha was name of one demon. And Arihi means enemy. I told you, no, Arihi means enemy. Murari means what? Murari means enemy of the demon Muraha, Murari. Muranandra Arakkanudaiya Pahaivan, Bhagavan. Therefore, he is called Murari. So, Krishna is called Murari. So, Krishna can generally say the Lord. So, Lord is always what? Here, Murari, again, very special name. Enemy of the demon, when you say that enemy of the demon, always, enemy of the demon means always knowledge. Demon is ignorance and enemy is knowledge. Ignorance, knowledge is the enemy of ignorance. You know why? If knowledge comes, ignorance cannot be there. That is why if you ask who is an enemy, in Sanskrit grammar we have beautiful expression in Sanskrit grammar. When you teach grammar, Mitravata Adeshaha. Okay? Mitravata Agamaha. Shatravata Adeshaha. If a friend, the one who comes inside and who sits and talks to you along with you, he is a friend. One who comes in and pushes you out, he is an enemy. Listen. Mitravata Agamaha. One who comes and sits with you is a mitram. But Adesha, one who comes and chases you out, drives you out, doesn't allow you to be there, takes your place, is enemy. That's why here, very beautiful that is. And here we say knowledge is the enemy of the ignorance. Understand? Ignorance cannot drive away knowledge. No way. Ignorance is as long as knowledge comes. That's all. But knowledge comes, ignorance cannot be there. Therefore, knowledge is always said to be what? Enemy of the ignorance. And not only ignorance, ignorance born other negative tendencies also. Like kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Enemy of all these things. Jnanam irukkaradathla ariyam irukkumudiyadhu. Ariyam irukkaradathla all other things also cannot be. Ignorance born, other things also cannot be there. That is why knowledge is said to be the enemy of ignorance. And whenever you say Murari means what here? Again, knowledge is highlighted here. The very word Murari tells what? Enemy of the demon Muraha. Here, ignorance is the demon. Knowledge is the really Lord here. That is why I told you once long ago, in the very beginning of the session, Shadari. Remember the Shadari, the word? Shadari. Shadari means knowledge. The name of knowledge is said to be Shadari. And that is symbolized also. The feet of the Lord is a symbol. No, feet of the Lord symbolize the knowledge, which is enemy of, understand, which is an enemy of the six, I said. Shat means six. And Ari means enemy. So, Shannam Arihi. Ar in Pahaivan. Okay, Shadari. Now, where you get Shadari? In Vishnu temples. Go to Vishnu temple, they'll give you, bring a cap on top, keep on your head. Because if you see the top of the cap, and then you can see that 2 feet of the Bhagavan. So feet stand for knowledge. And knowledge is what? Enemy of the ignorance. And if ignorance goes, ignorance, children of ignorance should go away. Okay? Ignorance born, kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam. These six also should go away. These six, in fact, they are not wrong things. Okay, they are just there. They cannot be there if knowledge is there. Where there is ignorance, all these problems will be there. That is why kundo to kailasam means what? All of them together will have to disappear. Okay? All of them have to disappear together. That is why shadari, knowledge is said to be jnana, ajnanasi arihi. Okay? Murasya arihi, shadarihi, shannamarihi knowledge. Understand? So here he says, if you worship the Lord Murari at least once, okay, Lord Murari, if you worship the Lord at least once in your lifetime, if you have drunk, tasted at least a few drops of Ganga water in your lifetime, and if now you have understood a little bit of the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita in your lifetime, then definitely you will be free from fear of death. You need not have any argument with Lord Yama. So all now these three things again, these three lines also highlight the importance of the knowledge. Okay, only solution for freeing yourself from the problem of fear of death, thereby the very phenomenon called fear. Understand? And for which you need, and then also says, for that jnanam, understanding of the shastra, subject matter of the shastram is important. That is also highlighted here. So, shastra sarathai, shastra vishayathai, purindu kolludal avashyam. Purindu kolludalal mattume, jnanam siddhikka mudiyum, and the jnanathal mattumdhan, by thirindu vidupada mudiyum. That is what is said, implied in this verse. That is the actual teaching. And here, we have to see one more thing here. Knowledge drives away ignorance. In the wake of knowledge of the reality, there cannot be ignorance. I mean, ignorance gets dispelled. Okay? When ignorance goes, means in the absence of ignorance, ignorance born, ahankara also goes. When you say ahankara resolves, means what? Now, the erroneous notion one has about oneself goes. So, the smallness centered on I also resolves. I just resolves. Thanagave neengugirathu. When you say resolves, I mean neengugirathu. I mean, you don't give up anything. That's why the erroneous notion one has about oneself is the actual problem, we say here. That means what? What is the notion you have about yourself? I am small. I am small in terms of looks or position or possession or riches or status or a lot of other things. I am small is the problem. The smallness centered on I. I am a mortal. Now, lots of time-wise, spatially or object-wise and existentially, lots of problems are there. I am small. So, the smallness centered on I is the actual problem, which gives rise to all other things. Shastra makes it very clear. Any problem in life, and basically caused by what? This smallness centered on I. This smallness being centered on I means what? We actually, one entertaining erroneous notion about oneself, I am small. This notion is what? Ahankara. Understand? That is why you cannot give up ahankara. As long as this wrong notion is there, samsara will be continuous. Okay? How long will samsara be there? How long will this beginningless, endless life of transmigratory life will continue to be? How long will samsara be there? How long will it be there? As long as, look at this, as long as ahankara is there. That is why we say ahankarame samsarathirku karanam ahankarathai vidu. That's what people will say. That is why you have to give up your ego. Ego should go. Ego is the problem. People talk about it. I tell you, ego is not all a problem. Ego is okay. Now, ego is very natural thing. The wrong notion you have about yourself, I am small, is a thing. Understand? I am a mortal. Any notion you want a human being has about himself or herself is ahankara. And that ahankara, because of the ahankara, the smallness being hunted down, it gives rise to all other the pressures and desires and desire born actions and action born results and the exhaustion of results for which again the rebirth etc. continues. Look at this. The desire, okay, desire impelled actions and actions produced or caused results and the exhaustion of results for which again new life, again rebirth, again it continues. What is the cause here? What is the root cause here? He says here, ahankara. What is ahankara? Ego. What is ego? The wrong notion you have about yourself. Understand? And why ahankara is there? Ignorance born. Understand? That is why in the wake of knowledge of the reality and ignorance is dispelled, an ignorance born ego, ignorance caused ego also resolves. Wrong notion does not go away. Okay? Wrong just resolves. Wrong notion goes. Ignorant ego resolves. Ahankara resolves means ignorance, ahankara born, all other problems also will resolve. This is what is freedom. Understand? Mukti, mukti, mukti na ahankaram neengum bolude anaitthu பிரச்சனைகளும் இயல்பாகவே நீங்குகின்றன. They just resolve. All other problems caused by ahankara will resolve when ahankara is resolved. Ahankara cannot be destroyed. It has to resolve by itself. It resolves by itself in the wake of the knowledge when the ignorance is dispelled. Understand? That is why jnanam is very important. That's why he says here, Murari Samarcha Kriyate. Understand? If you worship the Lord Krishna, Lord, at least once in a lifetime, if you studied the Upanishads and Vedanta, understood little bit of it, definitely it will help you to understand. No? That jnanam will help you resolve the ahankara, resolve the ignorance born problems, and that then any fear. Fear also is what? In fact, caused by basically the ahankara only. Fear is due to the ahankara. That is why fear also will resolve. That is the idea. So, mainly, importance of knowledge and for which the importance of understanding the Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita is also highlighted here. Murari Samarcha.
Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, iha samsare बहुदुस्तारे इह संसारे बहुदुस्तारे कृपया पारे पाहि मुरारे कृपया पारे पाहि मुरारे.
So here you are invoking the Lord. Bhagavan kooptu pesa, hey Murare. Vilivetumila, if you see Murarihi, it means it's a ikaranta shabda, a word ending in e. That's why you should start teaching Gita language. Murarihi. No? Murarihi is the Lord, nominative. When you say Murare, Vilivetumi. Okay? O enemy of Mura. Muranin Pahivane. O Murari. Hey Murari. Kupudamala Murari. Hey Murari, Murare is ikarna like Harihina, Hare, Munihi, Mune. Rishihi, Rishay, like that, any ikar on the shabda, if any masculine gender word ending in e, in vocative case, will become what? E murare. For Harihi is a nominative, mudal vetrumi. Vidu vetrumi illa, in vocative, how it become? Hare. That is why Hare Rama, Hare Rama, that taraka that is called, that mantra. We see all the words are in vocative case. Hare, but Rama. Because Rama ends in A. Krishna ends in A. Hari ends in E. Therefore Hare. So here Murare also is what? He Murare, O Murari. That's the meaning. Then when you call, you have to say something, no? Here Pahi. Pahi, may you protect. No, Pahi is a nice word. Raksha. So here Pahi. So, where should you protect me? Okay, I'm here struggling here in samsara. So, may you protect me from this or in this. Okay, protect me who is sinking in this, drowning in this ocean of samsara. May you, that is understood there. Me is understood. Protect me here. Iha. Here, me. Iha means what? In this life. In this life, here in the samsara. What is here? Samsare. Okay? Protect me who is drowning in this ocean of samsara. Yeah, which sort of ocean samsara? Bahu dustara. Very, very difficult to cross. Dustara means what? Kadapadar kariya. Sustara means kadapadar eliya. Okay? Sustara, dustara. We have two words here. Sustara means what? Kadapadarku eliyadu. Dustara means kadapadarku ariyadu. Okay? Difficult to cross. Not easy to cross. Sustara means easy to cross. Dustara means difficult to cross. That is not simply difficult. Very, very difficult. That is why he says, Bahu dustare. Okay? Oh Lord, I am struggling here. So please protect me. Who's drowned, okay, who's here. Protect me from this, okay, me, who's really drowning in this ocean of samsara, which is very difficult to cross. Dustare and apare, also endless. Apara means what? Endless. Here samsara is given two adjectives. You have to say dustaraha samsaraha. Then you have to say aparaha samsaraha. Apara also is there. Can you see that? Kripaya pare, no? You have to read as kripaya apare. Aparaha samsaraha. Aparaha samsaraha means what? Endless samsara. Endless. Limitless. Samsara is aparaha. Apara, ellayattrathu. Why? Because beginningless, endless. Beginningless, endless cycle of like births and deaths. That is why samsara, life of transmigration, samsara is said to be aparaha. Then this endless, beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, okay, is also what? Very difficult to cross. That is why it's called dustara. Dustaraha samsaraha, aparaha samsaraha. It has two adjectives, samsara. Paranga. Aparaha, endless. Dustaraha, very difficult to cross. Therefore, O Lord, Murare, please protect me, who is drowning in this endless, this beginningless, endless cycle of births in samsara, and which is very difficult to cross. So help me cross. Help me cross, help me overcome, please protect me. That's what is the prayer. And why he says here, because how it is endless, he's saying, how it is endless. What is life of transmigration? How it is endless? How it is difficult to cross? Why? Punaha api jananam, punaha api maranam. Punarapi means what? Punaha means again, meendum. Punaha api also. Okay, marubadiyum salamalya. Punaha marubadi. Marubadiyum salana punaha api. Punarapi. Meendum. So again, punaha api, punaha api, jananam, jatare shayanam, janani jatare shayanam. Janani means mother, jatara means stomach, womb. So shayanam again, lying down there. So again going. So that means what? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So again there is being born, again there is birth, again there is death. Punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again I enter into the womb of another mother. Again I am born. And this life of transmigration, oh my God, it is endless. It is, I don't know how to put an end to this. Put a full stop to this. How to get rid of this? How to get out of this? I am bound by this life of transmigration. That is why I don't know. That is when you feel what? Dustara. Very difficult to cross. Why very difficult to cross? Because this birth doesn't come to an end. Once there is birth, and definitely there is death, and in we saw that, okay? Jatasya dhruvaha mrityuhu. Mrityasya janma dhruvam. But the one who is born, death is definite. But the one who is dead, my God, don't think everything is all solved. No. Death is not the solution for the problem. Again, it will continue. This is what we have to know. Many people think once we die, problems will be solved. No. Once death happens means birth is definite, continuous. We do not know that. It is truth. It is a fact. According to Vedanta Shastram, for the one who is born, death is definite means. Similarly, for the one who is dead, birth is definite. So again, assuming the body, getting into another mother's womb, again assuming another body, again being born is what? Definite. There is no doubt about it. Once you are born, in between birth and death also, definitely there are all life is full of both pairs of opposites. Pains and pleasures. No life is only of pleasures. No life is only of pains. Life is of both pains and pleasures, irrespective of whoever the person is. Once you are born means birth and death. In between birth and death, lots of going through pairs of opposites, and in which can be reduced to pain and pleasure, pain and pleasure, pain and pleasure. Always. This is what is samsara. Understand now, this is continuous. Why it is continuous? Why it is dustara? Why it is difficult to cross? Because I have no choice about not being born. I have no choice about being born. I had to be, okay? Without being asked, I'm without being questioned, without knowing why I am born, and I am born here. And I am living here. And then I have no choice about my desires. I can't undo my disease. Disease are natural. Understand, my biological needs are natural. And I have to do karma. And then again, when I'm doing karma, I accumulate punya papas. I have no choice. Once punya papas are there, and definitely I have to be born again to exhaust the punya papa. Once you are born again I have to do karma. Look at this. That's why he says, e ahankara, as long as ajnana is there, definitely there will be what? Adhyasa. Okay? Adhyasa will be there. Adhyasa means what? Remember the word adhyasa? Definitely this erroneous self-perception is something inevitable. As long as there is adhyasa, erroneous self-perception, and you can't avoid superimposition of the limitations of, understand, body, mind is composed upon the self. And as long as there is superimposition, you are helpless. You can't help having, being ahankari, having ahankara. I mean, entertaining a wrong notion about yourself. Wrong notion about yourself means what? I am small, I am a mortal, etc., etc. As long as that notion is there, what choice do you have? Okay, you have no choice. Ahankara is there. Means smallness is centered on I, which is the biggest problem and which gives rise to fundamental problem, which gives rise to all other desires. So desires result in karma, and karma produces phalam, and phalam has to be exhausted, therefore janma. Understand? That is why avidya, kama, karma. Shankara says everywhere, avidya, ignorance. Okay? Kama, desire. So ignorant, it doesn't talk about ahankara and all those things. as long as there is ignorance, you cannot undo desires. You cannot resolve desires. Understand? So disease will be there. As long as desires are there, and you can't help what? You can't help doing karma, and you can't avoid producing what? Accumulating karma phalams. Avidya, kama, karma. Once as long as you have these karma phalams in your account, and you can't avoid janma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Once you are born again, you have to do karma, janma, and then karma, phalam, janma. This is why it is dustara. It's nice to know, isn't it? How it is dustara? Why it is difficult to cross? There is no way of escaping from it. No way. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Avidya, kama, karma, janma. Kama, karma, janma. Every time you are born, ignorance continues to be there. And every time you are born, the same problem of small ahankara. I am small, that notion is always there in you. And that notion, therefore, you have to do karma, the desires will be natural. There's no way of undoing disease. There's no way of becoming free from disease. There's no way of resolving disease. Disease will be there. And the disease definitely will push you to do action. You have no choice. And the karma definitely will produce phalam. Phalam has to be exhausted, and for which sake you have to be born again. No other go. Understand? Therefore, this is endless. Samsara is what now? Because ignorance being the root cause of samsara, as long as ignorance will be there, samsaram will be endless. Samsara will be endless. That is why it is apara, and it's also dustara. Other than knowledge, there is no way of crossing this ocean of overcoming or getting rid of this ocean of samsara. Therefore, dustara, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Oh Lord, it is an inevitable thing. So being born is an inevitable thing. So being subject to death also an inevitable thing. Understand? And once you die, again being born again, again assuming a body, again, remaining in mother's womb, being born again is an inevitable thing. It's a continuous, endless thing. My God. Therefore, this samsara, this life of transmigration is beginningless, endless. And also, now it is difficult to cross. Oh Lord, please protect me who's drowning in this ocean of samsara. So protect me means what? Please bless me with knowledge. So seeking knowledge is seeking the absolute protection. In fact, even to seek knowledge, even to pray for jnana, one must be, I told yesterday also, one must be very intelligent. One cannot pray for knowledge unless one knows the value of knowledge. Understand? And one should know what is samsara. Without knowing the problem of samsara being there, how can you seek protection from samsara, suffering of samsara? It's very important. That's why this Bhagavad Gita Govindam is really a book of conversion, as I told you in the very beginning. It converts. It converts an amumukshu into a mumukshu. Understand? It converts a ajignyasu into a jignyasu. It converts a non-religious person into a religious person, an unethical into an ethical, a non-spiritual, a person who is merely religious and ethical into a real spiritual person. It converts by teaching this. Understand? The book of conversion converts. Only for awareness. Come on, wake up, don't be asleep, okay? You know there's a problem of samsara. You know there is samsara. Don't think, I'm going to die, the war problems will come to an end. No, death is not a solution. Death is only temporary relief. Okay, temporary relief. Little long holiday. Okay? long holiday, but you had to come back after holiday. Long holiday is temporary. Understand now? Temporary, this is called apekshikam. Death also is what? Time-bound, you know? Time-bound, it's a temporary moksha. Death is a temporary moksha and permanent moksha. And as long as, you know, as long, and after leaving this body, until you are born again, it is like remaining in sleep. People ask me, after death, how will it be? Now, until you are born again, until the time, the prarabdha works, the prarabdha calculation, you know, should work, until, and then the parentage, whatever punya karpapa you have, accordingly where you should be born, in a conducive atmosphere, where you can exhaust whatever you have in store. And in keeping with your punya papa, your parentage has been decided by the law. Okay? Parentage, who will be the father, who will be the mother, and what is their parabdha, so that it should tally with the parabdham of children and husband, wife, and all the children, everything like that. And then till then, it's a very short time, okay? You don't know how long it is. That time I do not know. You are free. Until you are born again, you are free. Free means what? How you are free? How will be? It is like remaining in sleep. In sleep, how you are? You know how you are in sleep. In sleep, there is no sukham, there is no dukkham. That does not mean you are completely free from sukha dukkham. That as long as you are asleep. Once you wake up, again life continues. Understand? Similarly, but do you have any choice about continuing, about not getting up at all? You have no choice. Okay? Mind, even if you want to sleep for some more time, sometimes you can't sleep. Sometimes you are not able to sleep also. That is another problem. Maybe some people sleep like Kumbhakarna, as we say, people who have very long sleepers, okay? Even then, you can't be sleeping all the time, you have to wake up. And then you have no choice. You have no choice. Therefore, similarly, you have no choice about remaining in sukshma form for long. And part of the desires, you'll be born again. This is really, I tell you, something very, very subtle fact. It's a fact. And no other science can tell you this. After death, until you are born, you enjoy some sukham. As you enjoy sukham in sleep. That is why death is only temporary moksha. But once the time comes and you have no choice, that you are born again, just not knowing. The only difference is you will not remember anything of your past life. You are born fresh. But when you wake up from sleep, slowly remember everything and comes back. At least you won't ask every day if you get up and ask who are you, where am I, that we won't ask. That's why the whole situation is, whole setup is new. New setup. New mother, new father, new body, nothing is there, nothing of the past you remember. That's also for good. Life begins. Amazing, isn't it? That is why death, don't think death will be a solution. Once people think now, all the problems are solved. That's not true. Now it's only temporary relief. Temporary relief, and be born again. With your own punya papa, whatever you have in store, accordingly be born again. When will it come to an end? Never. That is why apara, never will it come to an end. Is there any possibility of going away from samsara, escaping one birth in between two few births? No choice. Okay, dustara. Very difficult to cross. What is the only solution then? Only knowledge. Okay? That's why jnanadi eva kaivalyam. Knowledge is the only means. Why? Because this continuity of samsara itself is due to what? Ignorance. The samsara, that's why samsara bandha. Samsara is bondage. So, Understand? Samsara itself is what? Bondage. That is why becoming free from samsara is becoming free from bondage. And we call samsara is also called what? Karma bandha. You can say bondage of karma or bondage of samsara. And we also in Tamil we call it piravi pini. You know why? Pini. Why it is called? Pini means disease. And being born again is said to be samsara is like in other word is piravi pini. And samsara is also likened to ocean. Why? Because aparatvat dustaratvat. Understand? Due to its, you know, due to its involving difficulty in crossing it, it is said to be ocean. It's not a small stream which you play near nearby a house where which you can cross. Dustara, samudra, sagara. And because it is, you see that endless. This was called apara. And what is the only solution? Jnana. No, nothing else. That's why here the Shankara mainly mentions this sloka just to recognize, first of all, you have to understand the problem of samsara being there. We all know we have problems, but we do not see the problem. We know we have problem, but we don't know what actually the problem is. That is very important. That's why recognizing the problem itself is very important. Then only you can think of finding the solution for the problem. Otherwise, there's no way of getting rid of the problem. Understand. So death is not the solution. Death is not going to put an end to your problems of life. Problems of life are beginningless and endless. And this is what is samsara. And this is caused by ignorance. Therefore, ignorance has to be dispelled. Only that is why sarvam jnana plaveneva santarishyasi. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, how can I cross this ocean of samsara? Jnana plavene, only by the raft of knowledge. Jnana plavaha, now the float, the raft of knowledge alone, you can cross this ocean of samsara. Therefore, jnanam is important. Oh Lord, please bless, protect me from this samsara, if somebody asks. And he implies, oh Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of thy swarupam, which is as my own swarupam. Oh Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of thy swarupam, which is my swarupam. Thereby help me cross this ocean of samsara. Understand? It's endless, limitless, and then difficult, no, to cross. That is why asking for jnanam. That is why here praying for knowledge and asking for protection from the ocean of samsara, you know, implies one being intelligent enough to understand, recognize the problem of samsara being there. That is the importance of one recognizing the problem of samsara being there, thereby intelligently seeking help. In terms of asking for jnanam from Bhagavan himself, praying for knowledge, also is highlighted here. This was. Is it clear? Nalla, you have to think a lot here. Actually, I can talk on this one verse or another, 1 week also. So much you can talk, so much you can say, really. Because there are different ways of interpreting it. But I just go by the Shastras. And one more thing I want to tell you here, actually, when you talk about the samsara, then you say, oh Lord, please protect me from the samsara. When you say, definitely you imply what? You ask for jnanam. You pray for knowledge. And when you pray for knowledge, you pray for the knowledge of what? You pray for the knowledge of the truth, the reality. So pray, so knowledge of the truth or knowledge of reality is knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the reality means what? Knowledge of truth of one's own mind. And here, when you're asking for the knowledge of the truth, or asking for the knowledge of the Lord means asking for Lord Himself. Irevanaye ketal. So here, Bhagavan says, in one of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, suppose I pray, okay? I pray to the Lord, okay? And it means I ask for many things. As long as I ask for so many things, I want artha, I want kama, I want, you know, so many things I can ask for, so many things which constitute artha also. Come under the category of artha. I can ask for all those things, nothing wrong. As long as I pray for so many other things, you know, then that prayer will produce only what? Time-bound phalam, artha kama dharma. When I ask for knowledge, then that will produce what? Result in moksha, which is timeless end. But that's why here, asking for Bhagavan is asking for yourself. Asking for the knowledge of you, your own sarupam. There are two different things. That is why this is always said, as long as you ask for everything else, you are given so many things. But when you ask for Bhagavan Himself, what else can you ask for? You can't ask for anything anymore. That is why we say knowledge is the culmination of prayer. After asking for jnanam and having gained jnanam, you ask for, definitely you will be blessed with. But how fervently you ask for is important, okay? When you intensely, fervently pray for jnanam, and you will be blessed with jnanam. Once you are blessed with jnanam, then what else will you ask for? That is why knowledge is the culmination of prayer. So as long as you pray for anything else, prayer will be continuous and endless. When you pray for knowledge, prayer will come to an end. So praying for knowledge, okay, is the exalted prayer. We say, what is the most exalted of all the prayers? Most exalted all the, so vendrale miga melana vendudal edu, if you ask. What is that which is the exalted of the prayers? You can, that doesn't mean you should not pray for anything else. You can pray for anything. You can pray, go and pray for small orange mutai also. No problem. You can ask for small chocolate and candy. Anything you can pray for. As a child, I can go and pray for anything. Nothing wrong. But what he says is, the intelligent person, the mature person, will pray for knowledge of the Swarupam of Bhagavan. Knowledge of the truth, knowledge of reality, knowledge of Bhagavan. Therefore, that knowledge, now, praying for knowledge will put an end to the very act of praying. Therefore, the prayer which will put an end to the very act of praying is the most exalted of the prayers. Melana vendudal edunna. Vendudalaye mudivadaya cheyyum vendudale melana vendudal. Understand? Otherwise, if you do not pray for jnana, you pray for something else, and knowledge will not culminate in jnanam, so it will be continuous. And similarly, we also say, yesterday I was talking about the worship. In worship also, as long as you give so many things to Bhagavan, now, again worship will be what? Continuous. When you give yourself to Bhagavan, the offerer is offered to Bhagavan, offering will come to an end. And the offerer himself or herself is offered to Bhagavan, an offering will come to an end. And offering oneself to Bhagavan means what? No, resolving one's identity with Bhagavan. Which implies knowledge, again asking for knowledge. That is why seeking help, no, again is, being intelligent means what now? Seeking help is also what? One should be intelligent enough even to seek help. In Bhagavad Gita, one of the verses, Krishna says here, see, Janardanaha, not the word Janardanaha. Janardanaha means, it has two meanings. Janan ardayati iti Janardanaha. The one who destroys the wrongdoers. Janangale tunburuthugiravan. One who really harasses, troubles, causes pain to people who go against dharma. Janan ardayati. Janangale tunburuthugiravan, one meaning. And another meaning is, one who janaihi ardyate iti Janardanaha. One who is sought, or one who is prayed to by people is Janardanaha. Janangalal venda padhiravan, janaihi ardyate iti Janardanaha. One who is prayed to by people, is a Janardanaha. And also one who really, causes troubles people also is called Janardanaha. If people go against dharma and the wrongdoers, people are wrongdoers, then Bhagavan being manifest as the very law which determines the results of actions. Now, definitely the wrong action produces what? Papam. Papam will result in what? Pain. Bhagavan is helpless, understand. Therefore, one who remaining as the very law, one who ordains the results of actions, thereby one who punishes the wrongdoers. So, punisher of wrongdoers is called Janardanaha. Understand? Is one meaning. Another meaning is what? One who is sought, or one who is prayed to by devotees, the people, is a Janardanaha. The two meanings are there. And there we say, because devotee is praying to the Lord. Devotee prays for something. In English language, we can say there's a direct object and also indirect object. Suppose he asks, devotee asks for something, means what? That becomes direct object. Okay? And prays to asks for from whom? Other things. Suppose then you pray to the Lord and you pray for the Lord Himself. Pray to the Lord and pray for the Lord Himself means the indirect object and the direct object, if both become Bhagavan in the act of praying. Okay? The one who is prayed to, the one who is that which is wanted, are both Bhagavan, then that prayer becomes what? Prayer comes to an end. That is said in one of the Bhagavad Gita verses. That is why he is called Janardanaha. If you pray to the Lord for so many things, the things which you are praying for become what? Objects of objects. And here, suppose that becomes different thing. Who you pray to? But you ask for Bhagavan Himself. Unnaye kodun solittu ungitte ketta vechingala. Then you become the indirect object also, direct object also, both are Bhagavan means. Then that prayer comes to an, that is that prayer comes to an end. Anyway, like that here, that is why prayer also, what you are praying for, implies how mature and intelligent you are. That tells you.
Ratya charpata virachita kantha. Ratya charpata virachita kantha. Punya punya vivajita pantha. Punya punya vivajita pantha. Yogi yogani yojita chit.
Yogi yoga niyojita chitta. ಚಿತ್ತಃ
ರಮತೆ ಬಾಲೋನ್ಮತ್ತವ ದೇವ
ರಮತೆ ಬಾಲೋನ್ಮತ್ತವ ದೇವ
ರಥ್ಯಾಚರ್ಪಟ ವಿರಚಿತ ಕಂಠಃ ರಥ್ಯಾಚರ್ಪಟ ವಿರಚಿತ ಕಂಠಃ ಪುಣ್ಯ ಪುಣ್ಯ ವಿವರ್ಜಿತ ಪಂಥಃ
ಪುಣ್ಯ ಪುಣ್ಯ ವಿವರ್ಜಿತ ಪಂಥಃ
ಯೋಗಿ ಯೋಗ ನಿಯೋಜಿತ ಚಿತ್ತಃ
ಯೋಗಿ ಯೋಗ ನಿಯೋಜಿತ ಚಿತ್ತಃ
ರಮತೆ ಬಾಲೋನ್ಮತ್ತವ ದೇವ
ರಮತೆ ಬಾಲೋನ್ಮತ್ತವ ದೇವ
ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಎ ವೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅ ವೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಅ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ understood and ascertained the nature of the reality. One who has known the truth, Parambarulai Arindavan, is a wise person, Jnani. One who has known, discovered the reality of the universe as the truth of one's own mind, thereby one who has resolved the whole Jagat as Mithya. The whole Jagat as Mithya. And such a person in whose understanding all that is, there is only Ishvara. The second thing other than Ishvara. Such a person, if one says all that is, there is only Ishvara, then one has got his ahankara resolved in the identity, in the totality of the Ishvara. Irivan ennum murumayil, thaan ennum tanimayai neenga petravan, odunga petravan. Understand, one who has resolved his ahankara, identity with the totality, the such a person who is free from the problem of smallness being centered on I, the one who is free, one who revels in fullness. Such a person, the jnani, he says ramate. Ramate means what? Again revels. Telaikiran. How does he revel in fullness? No? Balavat, like a child. And then Unmattavat. Balaha means what? No? The child who does not have any identity with the body mind's complex. One who is problem of smallness. I don't mean the grown-up child, okay? The child below under 2 years old, no, doesn't pick up ahankara. Naan, ennodudu, solla theriyadu, until the child becomes 2. Only at the age of 2, the child picks up the ahankara. You know that? That is why the 2 is called terrible 2. Until they become 2-year-old, nowadays the other children are different, maybe I don't know about it. But generally they say terrible 2 because until they become 2, they do not know I am, my. They do not know. Only after 2 they pick up all those things. That is why then there is no smallness or bigness, no complex, so no hunted on I. Understand? Then there's no problem. Balavathu. Does not mean we should all become balas, okay? This only says, see, the child is, look at this, as a child is always happy. Look at the child is always happy. Happy means what? Happy means child has the bliss, okay? That means what? The child does not have the knowledge that I am. The child is like any cat or dog, okay? Until the child becomes 2, the child doesn't have the knowledge that I am. That we have to look after. That we have to take care of the child. The knowledge that I am is not there in the child. Therefore, I am so-and-so, I am this, I am that. That knowledge also is not possible. That notion also is not possible. See, I am this, I am that, I am not that. That sort of notion about himself or herself also is not possible for a child. Why? Because the very knowledge that I am is not there in the child. Therefore, there's no ahankara. When the ahankara is not there, then the smallness or bigness or like any complex is not possible. Ahankara is not possible, understand? So wrong notion is not possible. Because wrong notion being not there, there is no pain. Balavat. So like that, the jnani also, but the still the child is ignorant of the self. Child is ignorant of the self. Even child is ignorant of the self, even though there is no knowledge in the child, but still the child is happy. Why? Because the child, the knowledge that I am has, understand, is not there in a child. As long as one remains as a child, as long as this knowledge that I am, is not there in a child, so as long as the child does not have the notion that I am that, I am this, etc., the wrong notions about himself or herself, then the child also is happy like that. But this wise person also is happy like the child. But wise person is not ignorant like the child. The wise person is what? Wise. The wise person is free from ahankara. What happened to ahankara? Wrong notions resolved. When the wrong notion is the wise person having got his ahankara resolved. So being free from this the problem of smallness being centered on I, the jnani is free, for he revels in fullness. Understand? How he got the ahankara resolved? By knowing the self, by correcting the error in the perception of the self, and jnani is free. Understand? Balavatthu ramate, like the child, he revels in. But the child is happy, but then like the child, wise person is, he revels in fullness, happiness. Then, not only that, unmattavat, look at this, there another person also, unmattavat. Unmattaha means mad person. I'm sorry, really very thing important to know here, psychology here. Unmattavat, vat means like, balavat, unmattavat. Like the child, like the mad person. Like the mad person. Jnani revels in fullness. Means what now? Don't think child revels in fullness and mad person revels in fullness. Okay? Jnani who revels in fullness. Look at this. Jnani who revels in fullness is happy like the child and the mad person. See, in mad person, see, look at this. Mad people are not unhappy. You know that? Mad people are not unhappy. Mad people can never get rid of the problem. That means, do you think we all can become mad or what? If mad people are not unhappy, they're not happy, but they're not unhappy. Look at this. I don't say mad people are happy. But mad people are not unhappy. Why they are not unhappy does not mean they are happy also. What happened to them? They do not have any problems. Why they are unhappy? They do not have any problems. Why they do not have any problems? Because very ahankara is not there. I am that, I am this, that the erroneous notion about themselves is not there. Why that notion is not there? The very knowledge that I am is gone, is lost. The knowledge that I am is lost. I tell you, the height of madness is losing the knowledge that I am. Only human being is blessed with this knowledge that I am. Understand? And even having been blessed with this, being blessed with this knowledge, and having lived our lives wrongly, and if we go to that the state of losing that knowledge that I am, that state is called a lost, madness. And that is why we say pranasha. ஒரு மனிதனுக்கு சாவு அழிவு கிடையாது. இந்த இருக்கிறேன் என்கிற அறிவை இழத்தல் தான் பைத்தியம். அனுசன் பித்தகான்னு சொல்ல பைத்தியம்னா What is madness? Na? Losing the sense of oneself being. Okay? Losing sense of, the losing knowledge of I am is really madness. They lose that knowledge. Appana paithyam solra. Naan irikkiren apdinga arivu avanga ilandranga. That is what is madness. And you can, I'm not interested, but still I have to tell you this. Why? Because we'll mistake, because people will think, oh, we all can become mad. That is why I want to say it. I have to explain to you. Why they lose this knowledge? How one, the mad person, in fact, the one who has lost this knowledge, the sense, okay, the knowledge that I am, is the mad person. How does he lose it? See, if the knowledge that I am is not there, then the ahankara cannot be there. In notion, you cannot have about yourself. I am that, I am this. All this, any notion you have about yourself is not possible if there is no knowledge that you are. Only when you know you are, and you can have any notion about yourself. The knowledge that I am must be there for you to have any I am, to say, I am so and so. I am this. I am that. I am so and so. How will you say, I am tall, I am short, I am fat, I am intelligent, I am clever, I am lucky, I know I am unlucky. All these things you can say only if you, there is knowledge that I am. That is why that any notion you have about yourself, the ahankara, the wrong notion, very wrong notion or right notion, any notion is possible only if the first, the knowledge that I am. In the mad person, that notion is not, the wrong notion is not there. No notion is there about himself. There's no right notion, there's no wrong notion also. When the wrong notion is not there, there can't be any, the smallness set on I is not there. I cannot be there when the knowledge that I am itself is not there. Therefore, the mad person is not unhappy. He is not unhappy. It does not mean he is happy also. Why? Because here, the knowledge that I am is lost in the mad person. That is when one is called mad. And if you ask why the mad person loses this knowledge that I am, because when they go through any depression, any sadness, any pain in life, and that whatever situation caused that pain, if they are not able to take the mind away from the situation, or whatever, no, there is some situation must be there always, some unbearable pain comes. Unbearable pain happens. It happens in life. And that pain is caused by some given situation. Maybe people are involved, something must have happened, so many things are involved. Then that situation, it is very difficult for one to take the mind away from the situation or the incidents, which really resulted in such unbearable pain. That is why the pain continues. Again and again and again, I tell you, you cannot take the mind away from that pain. Very difficult. And slowly, when you continue again and again, you think of the same thing, even after getting rid of it, overcoming it, again the mind has the problem of dwelling upon the same painful situation, or somebody has told something like this, this has happened like this. Again and again, even after days pass by, if you are not able to take the mind away from that, if you think of that, mind is dwelling on the same thing, means situation or people or incident, whatever it is, then what happens? The pain continues to be there. The more you suffer the pain, you are not able to take the attention away from that. We say that, even if you want to forget, you are not able to. And that you won't remember. And that's why initially, that is what the forgetfulness comes. the more the attention of the mind dwells in any painful situation or the event or incident or people, words, etc., then what happens? Very difficult attention to take away. Then that is why you feel so agitated, and initially it's called depression. And the degrees of pain increases. Understand? And when you're not, that is when people, any small thing is there, any depressing, you might have to divert the attention. Go away, see this, talk to different people, watch a serial. That's how we have to divert the mind. That is why always we try to divert the attention from that thing to something else. We divert it means, then slowly they can get over the depression in due course of time. Then you can avoid. It is easy. That is always, it is very natural for one to get depressed. No? But different at a very initial level. Any agitation, any pain is there. Immediately we have to try to divert the attention. That is why prayer and worship, if we have, we will manage this pain. Manage. We won't go to this, it won't be given to madness. Prayer and worship will always help you, will bless you with some strength to manage this pain. Because managing pain is very important. And to take the utter mind away from this unforgettable situation somehow can manage. Very important. And not only prayer, that's why diversion always. Suppose go for a holiday, go with this and spend time new friends and new people. Something, try to watch something, listen to music. Something diverting we need. Suppose any diversion that time is a great medicine. Great medicine. Diversion is very important. If we divert the mind, then they can get over that. Understand? If we are able to take the mind from that, marakka mudiyum solramalle marakkaradhu kashtam. It's not if you can forget, at least even if you can't forget it, at least you are able to take the mind away from that for a length of time. Then it's okay. But when there's nobody to help, nothing happens, and if they're also too indulging people, and again and again and again and again, if the mind thinks about it, at one point, there is a point, the time when the mind cannot be taken away from that. That's all. Attention will get stuck with that one thing. The attention of the mind gets stuck with that. Now stuck with that, dwelling upon that one painful situation or incident or event, then what happens? That is when one loses the knowledge, I am. Manam yedavadu oru vishayathil aandha andha gavanam adhiliye ninnu poidunu vechikalam ungalku. Then afterwards, when the attention cannot be taken away from that is its time. They lose this knowledge that I am. That is why until then you can manage all shock treatment, all these things, medication, sedatives and putting them to sleep. That's why all. Initially they put them to sleep also. For how to help the person to forget problems? Do that, all those things, no? I'm talking about all those things today. We have to help. That is the only way to prevent a person from becoming mad. In fact, already, half madness, at least before becoming full, total madness, when totally you lose the knowledge that I am, total madness. Before that, the depression, different degrees of depression, in fact, will lead to total madness. That is why initially we divert and do all these things. Amazing, isn't it? That is why. Now what I'm saying, see, the unhappiness can be there, sorrow can be there. Problems can be there only if one has what? The smallness, this problem of smallness is centered on the I. Where there is subjectivity. Only when there is subjective. Therefore, the smallness of the problem of smallness being centered on I is not there, there cannot be have unhappiness. Now, what I'm saying here, because this verse can be misunderstood. Wise person, always people say wise person is like a mad person. Wise person is mad or what? No, wise person is not mad. Wise person is like the mad person. That means what? Wise person is not unhappy. Why? Because wise person, one who revels in fullness, happiness, cannot be unhappy. Wise person revels in happiness, revels in fullness, therefore wise person is not unhappy. Like whom? Okay? Like the Unmattaha is not unhappy. Why Unmattaha is not unhappy? Because Unmattaha, understand, the problem of smallness being centered on I is not there in mad person. Why the problem of smallness centered on I is not there in mad person? Because the mad person is the very knowledge that I am is not there in mad person. The ahankara is not there in mad person. That's not but mad person is ajnani. Child also is ajnani. But both are not unhappy. Why both are not unhappy? In both of them, ahankara is not there. The problem, okay, send an I is not there. Ahankara is not there. Because the very knowledge that I am is not there in a child, the very knowledge that I am is not there in a mad person. And what is the reason for I was talking to you, which is not necessary for you? Why mad? That's why it is very important, because every wise, after all I had to struggle so much to know the truth of Bhagavan, and at last I had to become mad or what? You don't need to know the truth to become mad, okay? But what I'm saying, that is, it's very important to know these verses have been interpreted very, Bala Unmattavati Eva, this Jnani Ramate. That's why he says, if the Jnani, even if he's wearing a torn cloth, and even he is free from what? Both Punya and Papa. Punya, he is free from Punya, he is free from Papa. Why Jnani is free from Punya and Papa? Because Jnani is objective. Jnani is totally objective. He is free from enjoyership. He is free from doership. Why? Because he is free from, he doesn't have identity with the body, mentions complex. He is free from the smallness of the I. He is completely objective. The objectivity is freedom. I told yesterday also. Because he is free from doership and enjoyership. Identity with the body, mind, is complex. This all is ahankara. Non-sahiravan, that notion has gone. There is a notion. That notion, I am the doer, notion is possible only if I identify with the body, mind, is complex. That notion being not there, I am the enjoyer. Okay? That notion also is not there. Why? Because the I sense has been, ahankara has been resolved. Because very perception has changed. Therefore, Jnani is free. Therefore, Jnani is free from both punyam and papam. Inbam, tumbam, rendam Jnani kadayal. He is free from both punya and papas, and with such a person, being free from punya and papa, and even when he is wearing this torn cloth also, he is just how it is. He is always what? He says, he is just revels in fullness. Jnani revels in fullness. And that is the real luxury. Reveling in knowledge is reveling in fullness. Reveling in fullness is what? Luxury. There is no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge. This is a Jnani. And he's like the child. He's like the mad person. That means, let us not take it very seriously. Okay? And why? Because he's free from ahankara. Therefore, he's not unhappy. And he revels in fullness.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om.
That is why the great help you can do to people is, if you happen to see anybody little agitated and depressed, and try to talk some nice words about them, all the good things about them you talk, then try to help them to get over that, to divert. See, timely diversion is enough. And they'll become perfect. We'll be all right.